God of yourself, like Brother Luis was saying, you give him that preeminence, there's no more fear. There's only peace. And you're living in his will. Amen. Are you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Brother Kern, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering for us? Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord God, that you have placed that burden in our hearts, Lord, to bring us into your house, Lord, to worship and
yes,
hear from
Jesus.
You, Lord Father. We thankful, Lord God, that we serve a God that is true to his will, Lord, and your will is to adopt sons and daughters unto you, Lord Father. So in doing so, we pray that you bless Brother Wade as he comes, use him in a special way. Help him, dear Father, to touch the hearts
yes,
and the needs of the people there.
Testimony won't take about a minute. Friday night, I started off to the store, and when I got to where I was going, the traffic was so heavy I couldn't get around good, so I decided to take a side road. When I did make the turn and turn around, I hit a curb and bust a tire. And soon as I got back to a safe place, I stopped. A guy came by and said, need some help? I said, yeah, so he got out and changed his tie for me. Took the tie off and put the spare on. And then he said, you look like you're about 14, that's what. She said, but thank you anyway. And he said, and I told him, then I said, the next day, my birthday, we were talking. He said, we're here, take this $10 for your birthday. So just thank the Lord that somebody was so gracious.
Amen.
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 Remember me in prayer.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ever grateful and thankful unto you, Lord, for all that you do. God, you have brought us this far, Lord, and we're going to follow on after you, holding to your unchanging hand. Lord, you love us, and we know that you have given us many things, Lord, that we didn't deserve. But, Father, because your love is unto us, we ask you this morning to come into the congregation. Lord, touch every heart, Father, stir it, that it may see your blessing power moving among us. God, we know that this is in late hour, that Satan is raging. But, God, you are still loving us, and we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 14. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people.
Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works.
Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore.
Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth.
O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations.
Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac.
And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance.
When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it.
When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproached them for their sakes. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Appreciate that testimony, Brother Colley. I tell you, Lord, he's a present help in the time of need. Reminded me of the Good Samaritan testimony, and or the story in the Bible. And because you remember this, the Good Samaritan, he helped the person in the time of need. Then he paid, gave some money to help him continue to help. So God has people all around us. You just look to him. He knows when you need help and can protect you and bring who he needs on the scene for that. So let's sing that song, The More I Surrender. Key. Amen. You know, I don't know if it's just the way the Lord is leading this morning, but the way Brother Luis, again, he's just talking about preeminence. And I don't know if anyone's noticed, years ago, Brother Dale, he preached on God being preeminent in your life, and there was there's a quote that Brother Branham said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, that sermon. And it was such a, maybe it was just so impactful to the people at that time. We put it on the back of the wall back there. And maybe sometimes when you have time, just go read that. It really is what each believer's desire, each Christian should want, is what God is trying to pour into you, himself, his will, his mind, his thoughts, his nature, his love, his desires. And the more we surrender, we don't have to fight it. A lot of times, I'm guilty. We all fight it a lot of times. But when it comes down to it, we just open our heart and say, Lord, the more I surrender, the lighter my load. We're here for a moment, a vapor, but we're here to do his will. Amen. Let's sing this together. Mm-hmm. Just let this be your prayer this morning.
My cares, Lord, the It came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. And they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God
sing it from your heart today. That's the only thing you can depend on in this world. It's the word of God. Sing it to him one more time. Fail you. It's always true. Never will lie to you. Always will help you. The only time it doesn't help you is when you don't read it. Hello, somebody. When you don't read it, we can read everything else. We were talking last Sunday. You can read all these self-help books you want to. This is the best self-help book there ever was. And it's eternal. It'll give you an eternal quality that them other things can. We like, it's okay, Dave Ramsey and all the different ones. That's all right. That's okay. But not the eternal word of God. The eternal word of God will never fail you. It'll never leave you, nor will it forsake you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here. We know we're here for a couple of things. We're here for our dedication service. Also here for a baptism. And then also for something about a birthday. I don't know whose birthday that is. I think it's my sweetheart's. Keep it down. But yesterday we had a good time. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. We're gonna do this at first. But yesterday we had a good time. For those of you that didn't come to the house, we had a good time of shooting and instructions. And we found out that Levi and Jonas will be entering law enforcement. And don't ever make them mad, because they shoot the eyes out of that target. But the instructor was there, and he actually helped a lot of people. You could see the people develop into better shooters. And we're going to be doing it again, Lord willing, next Sunday afternoon. So at my house at 4 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon, my house at 4 o'clock. And we'll have water and drinks, and you can eat grass or something. Chew on a stick. But we had a really good time, and we appreciate the Mike coming and helping us out. And some of you have expressed interest to continue the shooting part, so we'll do that next Sunday, 4 o'clock, Lord willing. And we did it yesterday because at 1 o'clock it's supposed to come thunderstorm, so we weren't going to be able to do that. But we sure do appreciate you. Thank you for being here with Brother David last Sunday. We were at the Methodist Church and spoke to them for a little while and had a good time in the Lord there. So we appreciate the Lord being with us. Also, Brother Daniel Martinez will be speaking for us on Wednesday night. Always good to have Brother Daniel here, like every time he comes. But if he didn't leave, he wouldn't have to be. Anyway, yeah. Next Sunday, we'll have communion and foot washing. Should be today, but we got all this going on. We'll do it next Sunday. Good to see Sister Tarsila here with us today, all the way from Kenya, Georgia. The country of Kenya. But good to have her with us, and she's going to be with us for a little bit. That Sister Anna's mom and Sister Rebecca's mom. So good to have them. And always good to have Steve and Amy with us, and I forget the young girl's name, but she knows who it is. Elbert Hubbard said, God will not look you over for medals, degrees, or diplomas, but for scars. The great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, God's love does not come and go. It never wavers. Our faith wavers. Our love wavers. But God's love is eternal. And he can't change his mind. If he ever loved you before the foundation of the world, he still loves you. There's not a day in the world that God's not going to love you. There's times that we think he's gone and left us, but it's just child training. It's just helping us to grow up and not be a spoiled child, not be a spoiled brat. So if we get started, today we're going to speak actually on a dedication service, why we do it. A lot of times we have these things, and sometimes they become rituals, but they're not rituals. They're for a Christian to be a whole Christian. There's things we have to do that are different from the world, okay? We believe in the Bible. We believe in Scripture. We believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We believe that he is God, was God, and always will be God. And we believe also in baby dedications. We do not believe in baby baptism, and I'll cover that today, where the Word of God tells us that in just a few minutes. So if they'll come on up, we'll dedicate our little one, family, all the family. Come on up, and we will. Are you going to be able to pull that up on the screen with me plugged in? Just come on up. Yeah, I will. All right, so this is the newest addition to the family, and we sure do appreciate them. Let's go ahead and sing Bring Them In before we get started.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin.
Amen. Well, we got up on the screen here. This is, which one is that? Is that Hudson? That's Dad dedicating Hudson, and then Dad dedicating. That was one of the last ones he dedicated before he passed away. So that's little. Where'd she go? Pookie, where you? Oh. You got your little blankie? We love him and appreciate him. Good to have you here. Good to have you here to do this. And if you can see this, I don't put the camera on it. That my mom made this dress. No? Who made it? Nobody made it. Abby wore it. Anna wore it. You believe that? How many? 50-something years. Boy. Okay, and Abby wore it. Okay. What now? The what? Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Yeah. That's what I said. That's Pook and that's Hudson. And they've all grown up. Let me have a baby. Okay. See, it's okay. This is Emerson Dean Dale. And we're going to dedicate her to the Lord, and then today we'll sit down and we will go over why we do this, and it's very important, and I'll speak some about it. But as Brother Dale always said, this baby she's a Dale, but she's also a member of the church. So you, the church family, live it in front of them as well, and that's your commission. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. So let's bow our heads. Let's give this little baby back to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand today, Lord, with a child that's so innocent and pure, heart so right, has no evil thought, has no sin. Although she was born in sin, Lord, you made a way. When you came and died at Calvary, you died for the little babies. and they don't have a chance maybe to ask you to forgive them, Lord, until they get older. And Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we dedicate this little Emerson Dean Dale back to you, Father. We're going to give him back to the family, but Lord, it's not going to end there. Lord, I pray that they'll raise her in the admonition of the Lord, and that these things will be done for your honor and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We kind of be a little bit out of the norm today. I knew we'd have nobody's a visitor, but we would just kind of explain some things today. We're going to explain a little bit too again about water baptism, because we're going to have a baptismal service. Brother Joseph's going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we'll talk today a little bit about why we do these things. We don't do them, you know, nothing against Catholic doctrine or anything else. It's just that when they come and bring a ritual, that just becomes a ritual, and you just do the thing. I don't like programs. There is a method of worship, but it should be the leading of the Lord, not the leading of a piece of paper. And I know we do have to have structure here. We do have to have certain songs that we need to sing and all these things. But if the Spirit of the Lord has our song leaders to go in a different direction, then remember, he's perfect, we're not. So if he comes on the scene and changes something, even a sermon, praise God for that. That means he's among us, he's doing the work, and somebody needs it. All right? So let's go to Matthew 19, verse 13, and let's start there. All minds clear. Just remember the announcements. That we'll have a baptismal service immediately following this service. We'll go down to the baptismal pool, and then we'll have a birthday celebration for June. Her birthday's on the 10th. You heard Ryan say that, but we're going to do it today. And then next Sunday, we'll have foot washing communion, and then we'll shoot my house up, as Ryan said. They kept shooting yesterday, and they kept banging it off of the wires, not where the cows are, but, you know, barbed wire. Finally, they broke it in half, so that's good. You got to destroy something when you start shooting. I mean, it's just the way it is. So, but you're all invited next Sunday. Just remember, if you've already done it, then probably you won't get to shoot, but you can stand in the background, and we can just have some good fellowship. So Matthew 19, verse 13, let's bow our heads. Lord, forgive us of our sins and many mistakes. First off, Lord, cleanse us. Lord, let us be as you're going to tell us. Let us be as that little child. Lord, be innocent. And Lord, be available. Make ourselves available, Lord, for you to come on the scene, Lord, and speak to each and every heart here. Lord, that's the purpose of us coming, not just to sit here and look over at each other and all, and even look up here, Lord, but to hear your voice. And let it be the word of God spoken by lips of clay, but may it come from your very thought that you had before the foundation of the world. Father, forgive us, Lord, if we say something maybe that somebody don't like, but we sure appreciate everybody being here. We appreciate the ones, Lord, bless the ones that are sick. Brother Bob, Lord, being down at checking on his grandbaby, visited for the first time there in South Carolina. Lord, I pray that you give them traveling mercies. Be with each one that's not here, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children. This is talking about Jesus now. That he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing. We'll go again to Matthew 18, verse 1. Try not to be... And they went. Some of them that went with me to the Methodist church last Sunday, I told them, forget it, I wasn't just going to preach 35 minutes ever again. So, but anyway, don't get used to it. Matthew 18, verse 1 says, at the same time the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, boy, oh my, could you imagine if that child knew what was going on? If that little child realized that he was standing in the hands of the Creator, standing in the hands of the one that was going to save his soul when he got older. Wow. Jesus called the little child and set him in front of him. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted. Now watch, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as a little child, now that includes all us old ones, humble ourselves as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now watch. And whoso shall receive one such little child, now look, he said, in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Amen. That's pretty real. That's Jesus talking. That ain't an interpretation. That's exactly what he said. He said it'd be better for a millstone to be hanged around the person's neck. And they remember Job even said one time, he said, oh, I wish I wasn't even born. I just wished I wasn't born. All these things are going on. But you know what? Job got a revelation one day, though. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he said, in the last days, I'll stand on this earth, and in my flesh, I shall see God. So what a great thing. Technology is not. So anyway, let's stand, we'll dismiss. Anderson was back there trying to help me with the printer a minute ago, and he just unplugged it. Plugged it back in, started working. So before you call a technician for $100-something an hour, unplug the thing and then plug it right back in, all right? Give it a minute to boot up and then plug it back in, because that's probably going to be your biggest problem. So now, here we go. So now we look and we see that we've had a baby dedication. And the way I want you to look at this, I want you to see that, as Dad's always said, that we dedicate babies here and give them to the parents, obviously, but we also give them to each one of us to live it before them. Now, you can say what you will, but a true Christian does not act like the world. A true Christian is separate from the world. Jesus was separate from the world. Listen, they hated him. They hated their very Savior because he was not normal. He wasn't of their quality. But he was a creator of the world. And they missed it. Could we be missing it now because of our ideas? Could we be missing it because of our doctrinal issues that, as I was telling some of the Methodists, you know, they sprinkle and... I said, your founder didn't do that. I didn't tell him from the pulpit. I just told a couple of guys there. I said, your founder did not sprinkle. John Wesley believed in water baptismo. Amen? Is everybody with me? So who told them they could do that? There's only two forces in this world, God and the devil. God can't lie. God can't change his word. So you... figure out who the other guy was. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the dedication part, I was thinking yesterday of all the, and I was part of it myself. We come and brought Josh and Hannah basically the same way here to be dedicated. And then sadly, we didn't live the life in front of them. Sadly, we've dedicated many people here. Many children have been dedicated here, and their parents not show up again. Now, the kid's not going to be held responsible. Innocent. Don't have a bad thought. Can't sin like you and I can sin because we know better. They don't know better. Not until they get to the age of accountability, to the age where they know that they're doing something wrong. They know they're sinning. They know they're doing something against or contrary to the Word of God. But here I want to tell you that if we're commissioned to do that, then until you get yourself right, how are you going to expect the kid to be right? I'm just going to preach family today. Is that all right? Because I want to tell you about a woman here in the Bible. I want you to see, and it's kind of strange that her name was Hannah, and that was my grandma's name. And she had a son in her old age named Samuel. And that was, Dad's name was Samuel. And Granny was 42 when Dad was born. I think his dad was in his 60s. So let's look at 1 Samuel 1, verse 1. And let's look and see what kind of dedication we have as Christians. Now, not as Christians. Remember, Jesus said, who believe in my name, who believe in me. All right? So if you don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, how are you going to get your kids to do the same thing? And we've seen many times before, now not here, but in the denominational world, they'll drop the kids off to Sunday school, and then mom and dad goes and, you know, does whatever. That's just a babysitter for them. Because when they get back home, they're going to hear the cussing and the swearing, the I ain't going to church and I don't love you no more. And you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Because when we dedicate a baby, it's not just we put them in a capsule and say, well, they're taken care of, but I'm going to go live any way I want to. Then you fuss at the kids. I've already always told you, and I know we don't believe in Santa Claus here, but we don't beat them up about it. We just tell them the truth, that there's a man that'll save your soul, not give you a gift. And his name's the Lord Jesus, and he doesn't wear a red suit. But how many of you, don't raise your hand because it'll be 100%, taught your kids there was a Santa Claus at about 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old? I know some of you didn't. But you still got caught in that influence. You lied to them. And you expect them to tell the truth. You whip them for lying. Somebody ought to whip you. I'm going to preach anyway. But it's the truth. That's why, and the whole pretense of this sermon is we're not going to just, this is an event. This was an event this morning. And we looked back on the events, and we looked back on the pictures that we pull up, and certain ones that are being dedicated, you never see them again. What have we dedicated? We've dedicated them to the Lord, but dedicated you to raise them, parents. And then for us as a church, but now us as a church, we're not obligated to help you raise your kid if you don't bring it to church. We're not obligated to go in your home and try to change your home. You got to change your home. The first home you got to change is this one. You got to change this home first. When you change this home, the kids will see a difference. So there was a lady, her name was Hannah. Let's read about her story here real quick. Now, there was a certain man of, you can pronounce that, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord. Remember, what did he do? He did the things he was supposed to do. He did all the sacrifices. Back then, there was no Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior yet. They looked to Jehovah, somebody they didn't understand a lot of the times, but they understood that Moses saw him, and they had a law, and they lived under that law, And as long as they made sacrifices, everything was okay. But remember, the ultimate sacrifice had not been made yet. All right, the Lord Jesus had not died. And this man went out of his city to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penai his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. Now watch. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. It didn't change that she didn't have children yet. He still loved her. What am I saying is, you got to bring love into your family first. You got to bring the love of husband and wife in first into your family. Make your sacrifices. Do your daily offerings. I'm talking about your daily offering. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, now watch, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You and I have to live so that the world can tell we're different. The Bible compels us. The Lord Jesus compels us. Everything in Scripture compels us to live different and look different and act different from the world. Everybody with me? My granddaughter slipped in the door. Is that Ellie with you? Hey, Ellie. God bless you. You missed a dedication. But we're compelled to be different. So a baby dedication to me is different than just somebody bringing them up, and like they do in different places, even the Methodist Church, they have a christening or a sprinkling of the water on the baby's head. But that's not according to Scripture. There is no Scripture that says you're not supposed to baptize them. But the only thing was is the disciples were getting a little ill with Jesus, and or the people, because the children were running around. Dad's always said, and I say 100%, kids crying, kids going out with their parents to use the bathroom or to eat a little bite of something. Oh, for those of you that went last Sunday, we are not bringing donuts into this sanctuary. Ever. This is the house of God. It's not a place that we just come like a lodge. We come here to just sit down and eat and drink in this sanctuary. That's garbage. Sorry, that's the only way those people have been taught, though, so that's the way they did it. I believe that you need to put on your best, be your best. If you're going to come to church and see God, if you're going to just come to church to see somebody else, then, you know, you need to stay home. You can amen. Thank you. I know this is simple, but sometimes we need to all be kind of reminded of these things. But it is a place for us to come. Do you know if you walked into a church, tabernacle, sanctuary, whatever it was in the Old Testament, if that high priest didn't have on the exact attire, if they weren't covered in oil, if they didn't walk the right way, put on the right... You say, well, it don't matter what I wear. Well, if he wore blue and should have wore red, he died. You know they tied ropes around the high priest because they couldn't go in there. But if he fell over dead, did something wrong, they could drag him out. If that happened here, how serious are we? That's why we don't have do's and don'ts here. We don't. But the Bible says dress modest. Be different. Women be women, men be men. But if we come in this house, watch it, as he did so year by year. So he did it. He come to church. He did his service to God, even though as yet Samuel had not been born yet. Everybody with me? Samuel was not born yet because he come through Hannah and God shut her womb up to give you the opportunity to see what's going on today. Word of God ever true. It was written for us. The Bible says it was written for our admonition, whom the ends of the world have come upon. And he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. In other words, her adversaries were women. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Now today, as we see that, have we ever done that before? Have we ever fasted and just did without some, just to try to get before the Lord? And today, coming to this dedication service, I want it to be, when you leave here, it was a dedication of you, not of so much of the baby. Because we've sheltered the child. The child has been sheltered in the arms of God until the age of accountability. But most of us sitting here today are past that point, several times over, lest we forget our age. But then you and I then now need to dedicate ourselves. We've had dedications. We've had rededications. We've dedicated the building again. We've dedicated each other. We've had marriage renewal vows. And that's good. That's wonderful. I was thinking this morning, how many people, I'm just going to preach, how many people stand before, they want to do it either in a church or a venue, and they want to dress up, and they want to stand before a preacher, somebody you're not supposed to lie to. They stand before a preacher and say, hey, read these vows. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And 5 years later, they're divorced. Somebody lied. You know what? The problem was they didn't bring that third person into the situation. They didn't bring that third person in. They didn't bring Jesus Christ with them when they come up here, or you won't get a divorce. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you can't divorce. You might have problems. And the men say, and the sisters say, they're louder than us. For some silly reason. The reason I'm telling you all this is sometimes we don't take things serious. Sometimes we do not take what we vow, and I'm going to preach on that probably somewhere in the seals. I'm going to preach on Numbers 30, which is a chapter of nothing but vows. Now remember, as I've said many times before, it's not the intimacy and it's not the bodily contact that marries you. Right? It's the vow. God looks at your vow. If you sisters vow yourself to a man, you are vowed and just as married. Now, is that not correct or not? You say, oh, no, they've not. No, the consummation is not the marriage. And many times, sorrowful in this age, day and age, they've already consummated it. They're just going to do the legal thing. Well, I'm going to preach anyway. But it's true. But when are we going to get back to being pure? All of us. I'm talking about men, too. We always preach on a woman being a virgin. Why can't a man supposed to be one too? And then you and I as Christians are supposed to be virgin in mind. Remember, we're a chaste virgin to Christ. Virgin to Christ. We are a virgin of Christ. But look at this. Now, here we got a man. He's not thinking a thing about it. He knows Hannah's not conceiving. And still treats her just the same. But she initiates to the Lord what she wants. So Hannah rose up. No, said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Listen, she was in sore pain that she didn't have a kid. Have we been in sore pain that we've not birthed Christ in our life? That we've not let the Holy Ghost live and live out through us. Don't be scared of that ghost. It's holy. It'll make you the same thing. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest, now here we're bringing a priest in. All right. So Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Listen, she was in travail. She was in travail. Have you ever just been in travail for something? I'm telling you, you better get in travail for your children, because I'm going to tell you something. We're at the ark age. Everybody with me on that? We're at the ark age. Remember, Noah built it. Noah preached it. But God shut the door. God shut the door. Noah wanted to keep it open so just in case somebody else would come in. But God shut the door and said, that's enough. We're coming to that time now. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. Now here we are. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. She was pretty specific. A man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, why they got long hair? Why did Jesus have long hair? Why did people have long hair in the Old Testament? I said, well, they took a Nazarite vow. You read about it in the Bible. If you'll act just like Jesus, you can have long hair. Took care of that, didn't it? All right. So, now watch. It came to pass, she continued praying. Now look, she continued to pray. She didn't just have one little 15-second prayer and went off. No, she kept praying. She kept praying. She kept praying. She wanted that child. You know why she wanted that child? Not for herself. Not for herself. She wanted that child to give that child to God. And she knew if she gave it to God, he'd be different. He would be special. He would have an anointing. And you know, Samuel was a prophet. Watch. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said, how wilt thou be drunken? How long wilt thou be drunk? Put away thy wine from thee. He was just looking at the circumstances. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before God. My soul before God. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, which was of evil God. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. God grant the petition that you ask. Not your husband, not me as the preacher, but you ask. Whatever the Bible says, whatever you say. If you say to this mountain, not if you ask your preacher to do it for you. If you say to this mountain, be moved, it'll be moved. And don't doubt in your heart. She said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Listen, she got her portion that she was asking for. She was settled. She didn't have to be sad anymore. She didn't have to go around. She knew that she was going to have that child. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elikam knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So in other words, he's going to be a child, still going to be a child. She's going to wean him, and then she's going to give him to God. Everybody with me? Well, there's a lot to that, but we'll not get into it because I want to get into the rest of it. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth the good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. All right. And when she had weaned him, she remembered her vow. She didn't just remember it here. She didn't just remember when the preacher said it. She didn't remember it in the temple. She remembered that vow in herself. Everybody with me? She took him up when she had weaned him. She took him up with her. Now watch. Took sacrifices. Flour, wine, bullock. She was doing what the Word of God told her to do. Even if her husband didn't, she was going to do it. Everybody with me? I know there's many here that live maybe without a husband or without a wife, and that's tough. I know it's tough. But you put your sufficiency in God. Let God do the work for you. Let God be your husband. He'll be the best one. He'll never fail you. The child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Now listen, she goes through all that, she travails. You know she's got to be pregnant 9 months. That's still from the beginning of time till now. It never got quicker or longer. It's been 9 months. So she had to wait 9 months to have this child. She went through the travail of childbirth. All these things that went on that are not written in Scripture, but it's in there. When you bear a child, you know what happens, sisters. You absolutely know what happens. If it was up to us to do it, Steve, we'd have one and that'd be it. There'd be no more. But it wasn't. It was left up to the sisters to do that. And praise God, because he honored her and gave her a son in her old age. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel was a baby just like the rest of us. But when Samuel grew up, he became a prophet. He became the voice of Israel. If Israel got anything, they got it from Samuel, because they believe in prophets. They believed in prophets. They believe God spoke to the prophets. Amos 2 and 9 tells them. We okay? Okay. Okay. Can we just wait? For those of you that don't know it, Brother Luis is interpreting for our Spanish brothers, and there we're getting a tag team here. But we appreciate our Spanish speaking brothers and sisters. We appreciate our interpreters. And for those of you that don't know it, we're working on a program to where, as I'm speaking here, when it's archived, when it's live streamed here, you'll hear his voice in Spanish preaching the same sermon instantly. God's good. He's good to give us brothers and sisters, maybe sisters too. Sister Christine has to keep us all straight and keep us throttled down and quietened so we don't run away from the interpreters. But praise God, there'll be one day we won't need an interpreter. We'll all know each other in our own language. Now let's look at one more situation, and then we'll kind of preach for a minute. This is when Jesus was born. There was a man that lived in a temple. He was old. The Bible tells it about what he did, where he was at, and what he was waiting on. So we're going to read it here, Luke 2, verse 22. "And when the day of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, this is the baby Jesus, all right? And they had to circumcise him on the eighth day. Everybody with me on that? That was circumcision time. "As it is written in the law, the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons." Is everybody with me on that? Went to church, did what the scripture says, all the time. Are we? Listen, you don't have to bring two turtle doves and two pigeons and throw them on the altar over here and let's kill them. That'd be blood, guts, and feathers everywhere. You just got to bring yourself. bring yourself as an offering. You come and offer yourself to God. The problem is we want to do like just like Aaron was preaching, and we told him there's many people in this world that want to be saved from hell. They're scared. But do you want him to be your Lord and Master? Do you want him to be your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior? Because to bring it up a notch and for him to become your Lord, he has to become the Lord of your life, apart from anything else. To a Christian, we're the very center of God, and he's the very center of us. And everything, every decision, everything we do should be centered around God. Anna and Zach made a vow to have the baby dedicated. And they did it. So God will honor it as long as they'll honor God. Same way with all of us. And live before him. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now this old man lived in a temple. He was good, devout, but God spoke to him one day and said, "You'll not die till you see the Lord." Or the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So what a consolation. Don't you think? I mean, even on the Sabbath day, that's one thing you could do. If that eighth day fell on the Sabbath day, because Sabbath day you didn't do anything, but if that eighth day of circumcision fell on that Saturday, you circumcised. So the temple was always full, and here's Simeon. And oh, praise God that he was led by the Holy Ghost. Why can't we be led like that? Why can't, when we come to church, that we want to see the Lord's Christ, not see a group of people, not worried about what I'm going to preach, but hope that God speaks to you and helps you? Why waste your time? Because if you're not a Christian, you're in time. Time is against all of us. I know we sing that song, "I'll not die, hallelujah, by and by." And I know that's hard for people to see. The graves are full of people that went to this church. But they're not dead. They're more alive than we are. I'd rather be there than here. You say, "You're crazy." Thank you. But here's a man that devoted his life to see one kid, one baby. Because watch what he did. He stood there every day and watched that line go by. Never felt the move of the Spirit. Never felt the move of the Spirit. Hundreds, thousands of babies, men, babies. He knew that was going to be a man child. He knew that he was going to be the Savior. He had read Isaiah. He had read Jeremiah. He had read all these different things. He had known him as Jehovah. But that wasn't that baby's name. He knew the baby's name wasn't going to be Jehovah, because I see the Lord's Christ. That's what he said. Won't see death till I see the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms. What a time. What a time. I was thinking yesterday, Brother Dutch and Sister April Scott, they became grandparents, had the first grandchild a couple of days ago. And I told him, I said, "Listen, buddy, your world's changed. You're going to think different, act different. They never make a mistake." I got my grandbaby back there, so. But they do. Sorry. But think about Simeon. He's getting old. His life's getting ready to be over, but he's promised by God in a revelation by the Old Testament that child was going to be in the temple, going to be born of a virgin. He had heard the rumors. Here comes this little virgin in. She was still a virgin. She had not known a man. But she had a baby in her arm. And I'm sure that there was probably a 10-foot gap in front and a 10-foot gap behind her because she had a bad name. She had a bad reputation. But yet, God sent that baby exactly the way that Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a man-child." But it didn't bother Simeon because Simeon was led by the Holy Ghost. When are we going to start being led by the Holy Ghost and not by every other ghost there is? Then he took him in his arms. He knew he had seen what he was looking for his whole life. He felt the pull. He felt the anointing. He felt that today, that scripture had been fulfilled that he had been living for years. Years! He was an old man. It doesn't say when God revealed that to him, but I'm sure it wasn't just right then. Because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, for Israel to come to their right state. The Messiah had to be on the scene. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What about a man? Lived his whole life. Brother Donnie, one moment defined his whole life. But he had Jesus in his arms. He may not have known exactly what he was doing, but I'll promise you he knew that that baby was going to grow up and be Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets. He was going to fulfill the scripture. And he said, "Let me depart in peace." That's what we should be as a Christian. When you meet the Lord, when you hold him in your arms, you say, "I've never done that before." You better try. You better bring him so close till he gets inside of you and lives your life, lives his life through you. And then what are you going to be? A living vessel. Holy. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now just make a few comments here and then we'll go to water baptism. Now look, as we said before, babies have no sin. They were born in sin. We're all born contrary to what God wanted in the first place. All right? But God made a provision. He sent his son. That baby we've been talking about grew up to be a man. And that man died on a cross to save every person. That's what I was preaching last weekend, the very most simple. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That love is not the love you have for your parents or your family or your car or your... That's the love of God called agape. "For God so agape this world." Agape love is not conditional. It is unconditional. It never changes. As I said before, you may have bad days and good days, but God doesn't have a bad day and a good day. We need to start yielding ourselves to what's inside of us. Everybody with me? But a baby has no sin. What's it sin for? What's it sin? What's it? The process of sinning is what? You got to think it here first. Is that right? You think it here first. This is where sin began. And then it what? It develops down into, and all your body does is displays what's inside of you. You can hold it, you can keep it secret every once in a while, but all of a sudden, the real you is going to pop up somewhere. And I hope and pray that the real you today has already been dead, killed, as we're going to the grave in just a few minutes. We're going to go out there and we're going to put our brother in the grave. But praise God. They put Jesus in the grave, but he's not there anymore. He resurrected, and we're going to resurrect into newness of life. Have you ever, listen, the Bible tells us at the very end of this, he said, "Behold, all things have become new." But when you get the new birth, that's here. That takes you to that new image that you're heading toward, that everybody that's gone on that other side has met that. They've met that what was inside of them. They just developed into that, had to leave the body here because of sin, because they were born in sin. But the soul is what God's worried about. He's not worried about your body. He's worried about your soul. For God so loved the world, so agape the world. And agape is non-conditional. Even your love for your wife is conditional. Oh, please. If your wife cooks good, keeps your clothes clean, if. That's filial love. That's where you get the word from the, in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. It's called the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia, or filial love, is the love you have for your friends, your brother. And you, I love the deer hunt. Well, now, what am I talking about? At this point in my life, that's what I like to do. If I can't do that anymore, I'm going to go and love something else. That's why God's love is unconditional. He can't say, oh, oops, I'm sorry, Regina, I didn't see that. She made the biggest boo-boo, and I'm gone, she gone, I'm out of here. No, he saw you making mistakes already before the foundation of the world. Before you ever come into human flesh, you made a mistake. But you were in the mind of God, in the eternal part, if you have him today in your soul. If that soul inside of you is wanting something more than this stinking world can give you, they can put everybody they want to in the White House. They ain't going to turn this thing around. We are headed for disaster. Don't put your hopes in the stock market. Don't put your hopes in your job. You better put your hopes in Jesus Christ. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God, what can I do? What's in my plan? Instead of you making the plan. Because remember, we fail. We go in this direction. We go in that direction. God never fails. But the reason we don't baptize our sprinkle babies is this one thing. There's two separate things in Christianity that we look at. One is a dedication and one's a baptism. Everybody with me? They're not the same. There's two different things that we do. You can't intertwine them together and say that we baptized this baby. Well, that baby don't need to be baptized again. No, that baby is covered under the sinless part of Jesus Christ dying for it before it reaches the age of accountability. Everybody with me? But see, baptism doesn't make you a Christian. I wished it did. I'd go throw everybody in the lake. I would. If that's all it was salvation, we just start throwing them in the water. But that's not it. It's an outward expression that God has done something in your life because you were in sin. This baby's not in sin. This baby's being dedicated as something delicate for us to take care of until it reaches a point to where God can deal with that child. With me? But baptism, you can baptism 100 babies, 1,000, million babies. That's not what God's talking about. But it's too young to know what baptism is. Because baptism is not just getting wet. It's an outward expression that something has changed on the inside or is changing. Or you feel a pull, you feel something different. The prophet tells us a child is too young to be baptized. A baptism is an outward expression that an inward work of grace has been done. In other words, we brought the kids up here. They didn't say, bring me to be dedicated, right? Because they don't know the difference. We as parents then, that's the connection we have. We're going to bring them up here and have them dedicated because they don't have to be baptized. Now, when that kid grows up to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, whatever it is, age of accountability, it's all different for others. That's up to you and God. Then you've got to come to a place that said, I have sinned, and now I want to be different. I want to be baptismo, or changed from one to another, one place to another. Remember, but it doesn't save you. But it's there's no way that little Emerson is want to outwardly express herself. Oh, she's doing it now. But it's uncontrollable. That's what I said. I don't have problems with babies. I have problems with adults acting like babies. Why cry? Crying means you need something. You want something. They can't express themselves, so they cry. But remember, dedication, we're doing it for them. Right? Everybody with me? We'll be done here in a second. We're doing it for them. We are. But now what you're doing is, though, you're vowing a vow. Come on. You're vowing a vow that you're going to bring my child, give it to the preacher. Preacher gives it back to them. And somewhere in all of that, we give it to God. But you got to give yourself to God first. Don't try to say, well, my baby's done. She's sealed in. He's sealed in. He's good. Yeah, until the day of accountability. But what about you? What about me? I left of my own accord. And usually that means you take your kids with you. And for that, I'm sorry. But there's somewhere you got to turn around. Start doing right. Start acting right. Start acting different. That's just one of the things I don't understand is people, and I even think I said it in the Methodist Church, Christianity is a broad brush nowadays. Everybody with me? You know what I'm talking about? It's a big old broad brush. Well, I'm a Christian. No, I thought the Bible said straight is the way. Narrow is the gate. Narrow. A little brush. Which means you got to live different than just saying, I'm a Christian. As Ryan, sitting here in the front, he started in a Christian rock band. May I? He called it Christian rock, but he called it croc. And I was watching one the other day, and when you can't tell, I mean, out of their mouth, they're singing gospel songs. But they look just like the rock people that are singing for the devil. There's got to be a separation. Kids, don't get caught in all that. Listen to the words. I said before, I don't mind if you listen to contemporary music. I want you to sing that song here, though, with a pure mind and with the Holy Ghost. Not looking like the devil and trying to worship God. That's what I said. I'm a Christian. Have you ever been to church? No, but I'm a Christian. Baptist. I went to church when I was 7. I shook the hand of the preacher. Got my letter. You been back to church yet? No, I ain't been back to church yet. That'd be 50 years old, 60 years old. Listen, you say, oh, it happens, folks. I've seen it at funerals. That's not the way this Bible's written. That's not the way. Christianity is a walk. It is not a halftime. Every once in a while, a feature, it is your life. So the baptism is an outward expression that something's going on different. You are now professing to the world. Somebody's not bringing you to this. You're inside of you expressing out now what you're wanting to do. You can't keep it inside. Listen, when Simeon felt the move of the Holy Ghost, he went straight to that baby. It pulled him to that child. Why? Because he was looking for that child. Are we looking? That child's not a baby anymore. That child died, grew up, died to save your soul. Are we willing to let him do it? So a baptism is a confession of an inward work of grace that's been done. A little infant has no knowledge of sin. Therefore, when Jesus died, he died to take away the sin of the world. Because remember, he agape'd the world. He loved the world without condition. You say, well, he didn't save everybody. Hold on a minute. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, or the Bible's wrong. You have a decision to make. He would have saved Judas. He would have saved Adolf Hitler. He even told Cain, he said, if you'll do like your brother, God spoke to him straight lip to ear. He said, if you'll do like your brother, in other words, I'll accept your sacrifice. That's why I said, we're not a broad brush bunch of Christians. I ain't saying that again. But we're not. When Jesus was baptized, immersed, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. He's talking about Matthew. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, me in heaven and in earth. There's three things we're compelled to do as Christians. Go, teach, and baptize. Everybody with me? I got it right there. Go ye, therefore, comma, and teach all nations, comma, baptizing them in the name. That is not names. That is name. Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. I'm going to read you here in a minute. Jehovah's not God's name. It's a title. It's a title to a name. So what's he saying? Go baptize in the name of who you know the Father is, who you know the Son is, and who you know the Holy Ghost is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Name means a word or combination of words by which a person, place, or thing, a body or class, or any object of thought is designated, called, or known. In other words, designated. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Oh, there's only one. Now, humans, raise your hand. Fathers, raise your hand. Sons, raise your hand. That was a lot. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. One. One person raised their hand because he's identified with that name is how he's identified. He's a father, he's a son, he's a human. Like all y'all, everybody's raising their hand, right? But only one. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Well, it's pretty consistent. Yeah, I know. I was a little slow. I kind of give you a little time in between. But Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Happens every time. So now in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and do different than what Jesus said. That's not what he said. Because Peter had just received the Holy Ghost, which was inside of Jesus, speaking to the people. Am I correct? Or you got two or three different Holy Ghosts? You got one Holy Ghost. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a promise. For the promises unto you and your children. Aaron Roberts, raise your hand. Okay. See there? I can't even trick him. Because he's identified. You know, we were sitting the other day, and about 1,500 people, we were at a wild game supper. And I didn't jump every time a name was. It wasn't mine. It wasn't my name. They didn't call my name. They called Abby's. They called Abby Grace Roberts. She about melted. I was going to have to give her some. She had to stand up in front of 1,500 people so they could bring her prize. But there's not another person in 1,500 people. There's not another person stood up that was Abby Grace Roberts. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Let's continue. Mark 16, verse 15. This is the same version of what Jesus was telling them in Matthew. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus, made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. So if the disciples had to be baptized, you're going to have to be baptized. Because remember, Paul's going to meet a group of people that was preaching, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, but immediately what Paul tell them? You need to go be baptized. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Exodus 6, verse 3. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Jehovah's not a name, it's a title. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that as two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. John 14, 13. Now listen, let me ask you a question. Who's he talking about right there? Jesus said, in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Who? Who is it? Who are you talking about? Aaron Roberts? He didn't raise his hand when I said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ. John 14, 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Acts 8, 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. There's something connected to that name. Baptism, right name, Holy Ghost. Acts 10, verse 47. Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them, this is Paul, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Acts 19, verse 1. This is Paul again. He said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said unto John. Then Paul said, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him. Now, who's that him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not a Father, not a Son, not a Holy Ghost. That's not a name. Those are titles. That they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on. It looks like that kind of connects together. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. Let's read this and then we'll close. Musicians, come up. A song and psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Why? Because he dedicated himself right here. We know he was dedicating the temple, but this is the temple. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. So what are we doing here? We're Christians. All right? We have made our confession. We have not made a dedication yet. The dedication was brought here. All right? By the parents. But we're going to go to a baptismal service that our brother has confessed that he wants to show the world that something has changed. That something is different than it was before. We believe in baby dedication. Absolutely. We do it all the time. But I'm telling you, don't make the mistake of thinking that's all you got to do. Let's stand our feet. It's the whole Christian walk is a life. A life. The baptism, the whole family in heaven and earth is named what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I told Aaron to raise his hand, I said, Aaron Roberts. And there might have been, there's a couple of Rebeccas in here, and there's a couple of other people in here that could have raised their hand if I had just said, Rebecca, raise your hand. But Aaron Roberts is his full name, not with the other, but we knew who, did y'all know exactly who I'm talking about? If you knew Aaron, you know he's sitting right there. Aaron Roberts, Lord Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We are, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a Catholic doctrine, and it's wrong. It's false. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ puts you in a good position to receive the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and your children, to them that are far off. We've read that many times. You ought to see those people scrambling in the Philippines when we have those mystery expos, and a brother stands up and says, I'll give you $10,000 if you can show me where anybody was baptized any other way than the name of the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus or Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, I'll give you $10,000. Well, buddy, $10,000 to a Filipino, well, to us too. But that's a year's salary to them. They tear their Bibles up trying to find it. You can't find it. It ain't there. God does his things right. And he does them right the first time. So today we're going to go to a watery grave. But I ask you, have you dedicated yourself just as we dedicated this child? Have you dedicated your life, your service, and whatever you have you dedicated it to the Lord? If you haven't, it's time to do it again. I mean, rededication. We baptized some of you a couple of times, maybe some three times. That's okay. But there's somewhere you got to put that stake down and say, this is it. Satan, I've done everything God told me to do the right way. So back off. Back off. You have that ability to say, back off, Satan. I've done everything. But now if you hadn't, he can stand right there. Know your line and still just keep bothering you and bothering you and bothering you. Listen, never in my life, and my dad didn't do it either, he didn't preach that you gotta be a Christian or you're going straight to hell. Now, if you're not, you're going. But there's grace in there and there's love in there. Know Jesus. Get to know him intimately. If not, there is a devil's hell that's waiting on everybody. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how nice you are to people. There's going to be a lot of nice people in hell. But there's not going to be one person in hell who has Jesus Christ in their soul. Not one. Not one. He's already went to hell for me. He went through a devil's grave. He went through hell for me. But as he resurrected in newness of life, so when we read that out here, that's what's going to happen. We're going to resurrect in newness of life. My dad and Brother Tatum and all the different ones, they're not coming back here old. They're coming back here new. Newness of life. But you got to know him here. To carry him over there and for him to carry you back here. Oh, if you're not a Christian today, I hope you don't sleep until you find that person. I'm talking about not a message, not God sent a prophet. You find Jesus Christ and I'll promise you, he'll point you to the scripture. He'll point you to the truth. He can't, because remember, somebody told me one time, God don't make a mistake. I think I said it about every service. God doesn't make a mistake. Never has, never will. And he put everything he thought right here. Let's sing a song. Just remember, when we finish, if you have a need,
so glad I'm yours, Lord. I'm so glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So
somebody's today. You got to decide whether you're God or the devil. I still believe in good old-fashioned salvation. I believe in the works of God. I believe the Bible. And I believe we've been given the truth in this end time.
So glad you
found me. And you said, he didn't just find you. He set you free. So, so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad. Think it to him one more time. Think about it. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Don't turn that voice down. That voice is trying to tell you, come unto me all that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Don't try to get in the way. The problem is we get in the way. Let's look to him. He said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Put all your burdens on him. Quit trying to figure it out. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad. Amen. God bless you. We'll still continue the service. We're just going to continue it downstairs. Everybody knows where the baptismal pool is. And we're going to... It's raining a little bit? Okay. Well, they said it's supposed to get really bad about 1 o'clock, so let's just pray that we're going to head down there now. Everybody just continue down. I'll change clothes, and then we'll have the baptismal service. Anybody else wants to be baptized? We got plenty of water, plenty of towels and whatever you need. Then remember, when we get finished with that, we'll come back inside and we'll have some cake and ice cream for June's birthday. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much that you give us an opportunity, Lord, to speak to the purchased possession that you saw before the foundation of the world. They'd be standing here, Lord. I pray that you'd be with each one, Father. Lord, lead our lives. Lord, be the center of everything we do. Father, be with us now as we continue down, Lord. Just stop the rain for a little while, Lord, so we can have the baptismal service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Has followed me. So glad you found me. Oh, and you set me free. And so so